Thursday, June 30th, 2016. This is the Sales Playbook Podcast. I am your host, Paul Castain, from YourSalesPlaybook.com, and this is the podcast for sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners who want to sell more. Now, this week, we're going to be talking about how opposites can attract more business. Now, before we begin, I'd like to tell you that this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our brand spanking new Rockstar Academy program. And a little bit later in the program, or a little bit like toward the end of this week's podcast, I'm going to be telling you all about it. But if you tend to be impatient like I am, you could simply stop by and check it out for yourself by visiting yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar. So you guys know how I like to roll. Maybe it's a New York thing. I just like to get right down to business. You know how I feel about these podcasts where they're taking forever with all this freaking foreplay, man? Let's get down to business here. So I've got a lot of ideas for you this week. And this is one of those episodes that if you're in the car, I'm really going to recommend that you pull over. I mean, especially if the day's it's a beautiful day, got a little time, maybe roll down the windows, feel that summer breeze. If you're bald like me, you could feel that sun on your bald head. You know how it is. But anyway, you're gonna want to take some notes here. So this whole concept of how opposites can attract more business, I want to tell you what inspired me to do this, because I really believe that aside from all the tips I'm going to give you this week, that there's even a higher level for you to learn more about this. So there is this awesome book that we recommend in the Rockstar Academy program. And it was a book that was written, I'm guessing, a good 25 years ago. And it's called Thinker Toys. The name of the book is called Thinker Toys. Just think that toy Tinker Toys, but Thinker Toys. And the whole purpose of the book is to help you, give you all these formulas to help you brainstorm and come up with creative solutions and problem solving techniques and things like that. Well, there is this one chapter in the book, and they teach you this acronym. And the acronym is called the SCAMPER technique. S-C-A-M-P-E-R, SCAMPER technique. And each one of those letters helps you to remember a different way of getting a solution to a challenge or coming up with a creative solution, perhaps. And the R in SCAMPER stands for reverse, as in, we're doing it this way. What if we were to reverse it and do it the complete opposite? So I said, you know what? This would be a great topic for this week's podcast. What the heck? So that's what inspired me. So your first assignment, if you don't own this book, go out and get it. It's not a cover-to-cover read. It's a great reference book for you. So I highly recommend it. So with that, let's talk about some opportunities. I have several examples, and they're designed, I'm hoping that some of them really hit home and you try the actual idea I give you. But what I'm really hoping for is that maybe some of my examples spark several more, even more relevant examples for you. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about different opportunities to do the exact opposite of what your competitors are doing. So example number one, a lot of the messaging in sales starts off where we lead with something about us. Examples, in an email, I know people, and I'm not here to knock anyone, but they, in the subject line, they'll put the name of their company, not the prospect's company. So if I were sending it to you and I was embracing that mindset, I would put in the subject line Castain Training Systems. Or when the email is opened, starting off with something about me. So let's just say I'm emailing my buddy Todd. So I might start off that email with something like, "Hi, Todd. And yeah, right. Like, how's that for like a grand like entrance? Or hi, Todd. Right. I sounded like a real dick when I said that. But anyway, sometimes I can't help it. Sometimes I am a dick. And that's an acronym, by the way. We learned Scamper. Now we're learning the DICK acronym. But anyway, we'll save that for another week. We'll have a whole podcast on the DICK acronym. But anyway, today, I want to get back on point. And so what I might do, if I were embracing that mindset of starting with something about me, I would start off with every way that I would greet Todd. And I would launch into something like, we're a full service training and coaching company or whatever. I mean, like, it's lame, but, you know, a lot of people do it. And again, if the topic this week and the mindset that we're trying to embrace is doing the opposite of what everyone else is doing, then the opposite of starting off with something about you is what? Starting off with something about them. See, that's how you get someone's attention. And by the way, before I tell you how to do that, what you have to understand is that this technique applies for email. It works brilliantly with cold calls. Instead of starting off with, again, you know, hey, you know, we're a full service printer. We're a full service widget company. We manufacture this and this, or even talking about the problems that we solve. We help companies just like yours, blah, 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 blah. It is very typical and cliched. So what we want to try to do with this whole opposites attract mindset is come in there as the breath of fresh air and showing them that we're different. See, we love to tell people we're different, but how often do we really demonstrate difference? See, that's, to me, where the real opportunity is for us. So, the subject line of an email, instead of making it about you, make it about them somehow. And how do we make it about them? Well, that's where you need to use your meticulous pre-call planning research. Something that you learned about them in the research that you can use. Something, you know, a lot of times we refer to it as a trigger event, right? A trigger event is something that's going on in their company, in their world, in their industry. It could be something in their neck of the woods, something that affects them that if you were to have something that would speak to that, it would dramatically increase the probability of them wanting to speak with you and meet with you and ultimately use your widget. In fact, there are actually a lot of different studies that are available on it. And there's a gentleman by the name of Brian Carroll who states that opportunities generated, and I'm not quoting him, by the way, I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but opportunities that are generated as a result of a trigger event have a 400% higher probability of closing. So if you could lead with something about them, something about their world, even something about a competitor, because people at the C-level are incredibly competitive, well, you're getting their attention. And by the way, you're doing the exact opposite of what everyone else is doing. Okay? So that's idea number one. Now, as we go along, I want you to use, and if you've been a listener of the podcast for a while, if you've been reading my blog over at yoursalesplaybook.com, you know that there is a problem-solving question that I love to teach you guys. It's a fill-in-the-blank question, and it goes something like this. In what ways can I? So this first area, your homework assignment is to think about or ask yourself the question during some quiet thinking time. And if you're like me, like with a cigar out in the patio, maybe a nice beer. Last night, man, I did not record the podcast like I was going to because I'm going to admit it, man, I got a little hammered. I was outside having a beer and another beer. Then my son, who's old enough to drink, he stops by. He had a few beers with the old man. Next thing you know, I'm like, hey, man, I am not doing this podcast tonight, man. It'd be like a drunken text to you guys. Anyway, I might just do a drunken podcast one time just for the hell, because I want to do the opposite of what my competitor, like, who the hell is doing that, right? That would be a first. But anyway, I digress. So your problem solving question here is, in what ways can I do the reverse as far as the messaging? you know, the reverse or the opposite of what my competitors are doing. How can I make my messaging about them instead of me? And remember, we're not just thinking emails here. We're thinking cold calls. We're thinking about voicemail messages. It could be a handwritten note that you're sending to them, a FedEx, some kind of a creative thing that you're doing. It could be your messaging over on LinkedIn. Let's go over to idea number two. Let's look at, and it really has to do with messaging in a way, but let's look at your presentations. Now, I don't care if it's a presentation that is kind of live and you're on site doing this. I don't care if it's like a WebEx. What you want to do is you want to think about, well, how is this typically done? And notice that word there. I mean, I think that's the operating word here. Typical. We don't want to be typical. I sure as hell don't. Typical is like freaking boring, man. That's when you commoditize in a way, like, or the beginning of commoditization. So what you want to do is you want to look at typically how is it done. So here's a lesson that I teach. I have a lot of clients in software. And typically, the presentations that they do in the demos and all, because they're dealing with IT folks, it's very, very technical. But many of you, even those of you who are not in software, you might tend to go more technical because that is the accepted norm. What could you do that would represent the reverse or the opposite of that? Because opposites attract. So let me give you some examples. So instead of just like a presentation with just the facts and it's just cold and clinical and probably pretty freaking boring too, how about adding some more showmanship and fun? Now, I want you to be very careful with that one. Sometimes people see adding jokes into a presentation or a speak is really risky business because it if you crash and burn with it, it could be disastrous. I'm not saying don't take risks. I'm just saying I've seen a lot of people crash and burn with it. And also, just because it's my podcast and I'm allowed to go on ridiculous tangents, I really feel a need to rant about something. A lot of people think that the idea of adding fun to a presentation, especially a speech, is doing this absolutely dickish, cliched maneuver where you start off by saying good morning and you wait in a real judgmental way for everyone to say good morning to you. And then you, if you're following the cliched approach, which most people do, you almost look disgusted because it was like a real crappy response. And you're like, oh no, let's try it again. That is not fun. That is, and I purposely used the word dickish before because it is dickish. It is cliched. It is stupid. I mean, you're going to start off some kind of a speech by judging people on their ability to say good morning to you. Congrats. You sounded like every other a-hole who spoke to them before. I would not do that. I would start off differently, by the way. But once again, Uncle Paul has digressed. And I promise you, my digressions are going to get worse as I get older. We're in this journey together. You guys are going to have to deal with it. I sure as hell am not going to change. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, let's get back to this presentation thing. So if you're used to being in an industry where people are expecting a really technical type of presentation, give them the facts, give them the technology and all that, but add some showmanship, add some fun. Here's an example for you. A lot of people hate PowerPoints. I don't. I dislike PowerPoints that are crappy. And what's my example of a crappy type of PowerPoint? Well, the typical PowerPoint, and I want you to make note of this, has bullets and lots of words. It can be very confusing for people because as you're talking, they're reading. So if we want to do exactly the opposite, don't put any words, don't put any bullets. See, let your competitors do that kind of crap. You want to be different. You want to do the opposite. So you know what I do? I put a powerful graphic. And when I say powerful graphic, you guys know my personality. I'm hoping by now you realize I'm not into typical crap. I'm not into boring. So I'm going to do something that is going to reflect more my style. And I'm going to do something that might be a humorous but yet tasteful type of graphic. But either way, the beauty in doing that is, first of all, it's going to be different than any other slides that they viewed. But what's beautiful about a graphic, especially if it is relevant somehow, You are catering to something in the brain that every one of you needs to write down right now. All of us as human beings have a natural curiosity and a natural curious need to resolve unresolved things, resolve a mystery, connect the dots. So when a picture comes up, what's going to happen, and there's no words, the brain kind of subconsciously is going to be saying, wow, what the hell does that have to do with this? And not in a bad way, but it's like, where is he going with this? It is the equivalent of, did you ever have anyone who's speaking with you and they're one of those low talkers and they're talking very low? Unlike your Uncle Paul, who gets thrown out of restaurants and stuff. But, you know, like when somebody's talking very low, we tend to lean in. So what we want to do with the graphic is create something that intrigues them so they lean in and pay more attention to you. And then your job is to resolve the mystery by tying it together and making the graphic relevant to what you're talking about and your solution and how you can help them and the opportunities that you can help them embrace. So that's one of the things that you could do. Here's another one. Most people, when it comes to the presentation portion of the sales process, they're used to a sales pitch. In fact, there's many people who actually are pretty ballsy with salespeople. So, okay, give me your pitch, which I hate, by the way. It's just like, yeah, let's just completely bastardize sales, right? I just like, it's like one of those nails on a chalkboard type of statement to someone, or to me, that somebody could make. So instead of doing your typical quote-unquote pitch, how about actually facilitating a discussion where you're presenting ideas, but you're coming up for air and you're facilitating, you're asking questions. When people give you answers, you're asking what we call continuation questions, which are questions that encourage people to continue and expand upon their thought. You could even turn to someone else or the rest of the room and say, does anyone, you know, have any ideas to piggyback on what Jane just said? You could even play devil's advocate, kind of like an opposite and a reverse here. And you could say, anyone disagree with that? Anyone have a completely different spin on what Todd just shared? That type of thing. But one of the best compliments that I've been given, aside from my amazing head of hair, which is like those of you who know me, I am completely bald at this point by choice, but not completely by choice. I chose to expedite the process by shaving my head so that I actually look like a badass instead of somebody who is balding. I just wanted to put that out there too, because I'm sharing completely today. But anyway, you know, so what you want to do is you want to get them talking about things and you want to get them sharing things. But one of the best compliments I'm given is people tell me, Paul, I really want to thank you. You got us talking about things that we really needed to talk about. Or people will say to me, Paul, we really want to thank you. You actually asked for our opinion instead of spewing your philosophies. You made this about us. And it's just a much better discussion to have, because when we get them talking and opening up, not only will they think that we're a brilliant conversationalist, but I believe that's part of the process of them owning and buying what you're proposing. So that's really, really important. So you could do some things like that, and it will really help your presentation. So that's kind of doing the opposite. Let's go on to the next idea. The next idea is, you know, we have this philosophy in sales. And I talked about this on my blog recently. And the old sales kind of saying is go where the money is. Now, you know, this kind of something built in there that's misleading. A lot of people like, yeah, okay, that makes sense, but where the hell is the money? There is a lot to that statement, and yeah, I am going to give you a pitch for the upcoming program that we have. One, in the very first session of our Rockstar Academy course, that is one of the tactics I teach, how to go where the money is. It's one of the 20 ideas I'm going to be sharing in session one, and we talk about, well, okay, I buy into this concept of go where the money is. But where is the money? And I'm talking about beyond like your power users of your product or service or whatever. And we all have them. There are some things that you're missing. You're practically tripping over that represents opportunity for you. And it's an indicator of where the money is. So again, If you want to learn more about that course, if you're digging what I'm talking about today, just understand that the premium side of the content is going to be a much higher level. Be sure to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar. But now, if we continue along the line of this concept of the reverse or the opposite. So if you're going to go, if we're going to take the opposite of go where the money is, the opposite of that is go where the money isn't. Let me say that again. Go where the money isn't. Now, I want to be very clear about something. You are going to be broke if you focus all your effort in going where there isn't money. But I do want to tell you that there are opportunities there for you that the average person, your average competitor, you are missing. Let me explain this. Sometimes we're so busy going where the money is, which we need to do. But while the whole pack is running to the right where the money is, hypothetically, you might be missing opportunities on the left where the money isn't. And let me explain why. When we look at the psychology behind change and what makes people move away from the status quo, one thing that we know, and I'm sure I'm going to get head nods on this statement, is that people in pain have a higher probability of changing. So what I would submit to you is, who do you think has the highest probability of changing? Somebody who's all nice and comfy where the money is? Yeah, they can afford you, but they're comfy. Or the people who are in pain, maybe an industry that is hurting. Now, before you write me off as a complete lunatic, and that might have happened months ago, who knows, many episodes ago, I want to say something to you that you might be thinking, yeah, but they can't afford us then or whatever it is. But I want to submit to you that if people are in pain and you can definitively come in and you can demonstrate revenue generation or cost savings, then what will happen is that they can find the money. I mean, they can go back to their investors. They can get out loans. They can go, you know, back to the executive committee and say, you know, you've been beating us up about this. We've got this idea that can increase our sales by this or reduce bottom, you know, can help us increase bottom line savings by that. Well, you have someone in a way that might be really anxious to hear what you have to say. In a way, it's kind of like one of those trigger events that we talked about earlier in the podcast. So my point is, if you want to consider this mindset of doing the opposite, doing the reverse, then what I want you to do is think about this idea of going where the money isn't. Let me give you another example now. Let's move on to the next example of how opposites can attract. I want you to look at the customer experience, the complete customer experience. It could be from, you know, the time, you know, they sign up with you in the onboarding process and, you know, all that kind of thing. The implementation, as my friends in software like to say. And what you want to do is ask that question again. In what ways can I do the complete opposite in order to give my customers a better experience? So I'm just going to give you a few random ideas here. Okay, so, you know, there are some industries out there, and I know that you guys have been exposed to it. Right off the top of my head, I'm thinking the cellular industry, I'm thinking the cable industry. What they do is they give their best prices to people who aren't existing customers. They're doing everything they can to win new business, but at the price of screwing over people who have been loyal and paying their bills all along. I don't agree with that. And by the way, it's not just cell phone companies and, you know, companies like Sprint and AT&T and all that doing that. It isn't just the cable companies doing that. It's, you know, companies like ours are doing it, you know, especially when you have all these promotions to reward them. I have a very clear-cut policy. All my clients know it. Most of my prospects know this too. I make no excuses in saying my clients get the absolute best price. I will not negotiate with someone trying to do business with me. I will not give them some kind of a deal to get them in the door. I will not do it. Why? Because I think it's an extreme F you to the people who have been paying my bills. I have clients that go all the way back to 2011 when I started Castain Training Systems. So, like, how dickish would that be of me to give somebody coming out of the blue waving some money at me, want to play Let's Make a Deal, a better deal than someone who's been loyal and helped me put my kids through college? I just think that is just I mean, I have no better way to put it. So earmuffs, it's an extreme F you. I think it's disrespectful. I know lots of people who will do that. I will not do it. Plus, I maintain that it demonstrates a certain degree of confidence in your product or service if you say, no, I'm not going to negotiate. Now, you don't have to say it like that. But I mean, if that's your philosophy, I think it can, if you do it the right way, demonstrate a faith in your product, right? And it also forces you to have to work the sales process better if discounting is not going to be an option. So that's one of the things. How about the follow-up after you make the sale? There's probably a typical way that people follow up. And no disrespect to you, you might be doing it right now. So why don't you look at how you follow up after the sale and say, is there an opposite or a reverse approach to that? That's something that you can do. You know, in fact, let me give you another example. When I was in the printing industry many years ago, one of the things that I chose to do back then, which was completely the opposite of what my competitors were doing, I was helping my clients keep inventory. I would stop by regularly when they were power users of different types of print products. I would stop by. I had their permission to do so. I would go into, you know, the storage room or the warehouse or whatever it is. I would take a quick look at their supply. And they appreciated that. And I would tell them, I would say, by the way, you're running low on this particular form, or you're running low on this particular brochure. Sometimes I would even use their buying patterns. I would know going into the summer, for example, that ABC Industries always has this promotion. And, you know, they're down to their last 1,000. And I know that they typically whip through 8,000. Things like that. That was the direct opposite of what people were doing. Let me give you an example from Castain Training Systems. I look at the typical classroom experience, and I do the opposite of it. Let me tell you, in case you haven't had the fun experience of going through classroom training, of what the typical experience is. Many times you get some pompous sales trainer, know-it-all, who has not sold a damn thing since 1983, leading the discussions. Well, the last time I made a sale was yesterday. And unfortunately, the last time I was rejected was also yesterday. And I tell you that to let you know that I'm in the trenches with you. So number one, I think that garners a higher level of respect. Would you rather get training from somebody who hasn't sold like in forever and just kind of gave up, or somebody who's actively out there trying and living the principles that they're teaching? Also, you have a high degree of people who sold, when you look at their sales career, for all of about 15 minutes, and then they quit, and they got out of that kind of sales racket, so to speak. And now they're training because it's safer and it's easier for them. Me, I've been selling since I was 18. And in case you guys haven't done the math, that is, and I feel like I should like lower my voice when I say this, it's 33 years. So at the ripe old age of 51, I have 30 years of trench warfare experience. So that to me is the direct opposite, and it helps get a lot of respect for people. But let's go through that experience a little bit more. I'm sure you've noticed this, but you have a lot of sales trainers that love to use these absolutely dicky types of acronym. Well, what you have to do is use the CARE model. Or what you have to do is, you know, the easy way to remember this is WIN. And, you know, we're going to use the sales, you know, acronym. And it's like you get acronyms out the ass, and it's like it's just too much or whatever it is. So you start doing that. Many of them speak way too philosophically instead of showing actual examples. And even many of them are too much on the lecture side and not enough getting to me as talented as I hope you guys think I am. I truly believe that the real talent is on your side of the podium. So my job as a sales trainer, yes, is to give you some information, but it's to facilitate discussions so that we find out what other people are doing on your team. So you get my knowledge, but you also get your team's knowledge, and you get somebody who's experienced in bringing that out. But it doesn't stop there. Most sales training stops with the classroom experience. I want to do the opposite of that. So what did I do? I've created a whole reinforcement system where I have online types of modules that reinforce the things that I've done in the classroom. Emails, Many times I'll do videos and MP3s, things to keep it alive. So training isn't an event. It isn't just like an isolated event. It's truly an experience and a program that can help generate higher level results. So, you know, the final example that I'll give you, because I really want to beat this one up with the customer experience, I'll take an example from my coaching practice. A typical coach or a typical coaching session with people other than myself, the way the coaching model works is that supposedly a good coach, quote unquote, will ask you lots of questions and lead you on a path to self-discovery. I have chosen to do the complete opposite of that. Again, I am not for everybody, and neither are you. And I am so freaking comfy. Like, I'm all nice and tucked in this concept, right? I'm nice and comfy in my little bed here thinking about this, because I know that not everybody is going to dig Paul Castain, and I am okay with it. And I'm here to tell you, not everybody's going to dig you and love what you're doing and buy into what you're doing. And that's okay, too, so long as it isn't disrespectful or it's, you know, it's illegal or immoral or anything like that. But here's the deal. Typical coaching session, they're asking you all these questions. And when you ask them a question, they're answering with another question because they want to get you thinking and they want to teach you how to think. And that's wonderful. But here's kind of a crazy notion for you. I maintain that by the time somebody reaches out to me and says, "Hey, Uncle Paul, I'd like to talk to you about your coaching program," I maintain that they have plenty of their own questions and they don't need more of my questions to complicate it. So what did I do? I did kind of the opposite of that, but with a middle of the road approach. The opposite of asking lots of questions is giving lots of information. But what I do in addition to that is, yes, I start off the session by asking some questions, doing some diagnostics, continually taking x-rays, so to speak. Right? I don't like move like an x-ray like piece of equipment into your office. It's like, what's he doing? You know, I mean, that would just be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Right? But kind of cool too. Make it like wear like a white lab coat. I'd garner a higher level and a higher paycheck from you guys. But anyway, so what I do is, yes, I'll ask the questions, but I'm going to give you a lot of answers too. But my question to you is, could you use the problem solving questionnaire and ask yourself, in what ways could I do the exact opposite of the typical customer experience? Let me give you another example, and I am just so passionate about this next one. I have written so many things about this. If you've been following me for a while, you're about to give me an eye roll and go, "Here we go again. Uncle Paul is about to go off on this same repeated sermon." But to me, I want you to look at different times of the year when people typically mentally check out. I absolutely despise it. I really do. It started with the holiday, and I didn't realize it until I started my own business. And I noticed the first year in business, I was like, man, this is scary. Like I'm dipping into like my bank account, right? I didn't prepare for the holidays. And you see people who take like at the holidays, what really should be about a week between Christmas and New Year's, and they turn it into a 4 to 6 week excuse fest. Well, you know, people are winding down. Everybody's just going to call me back after January anyway. So yeah, I'm going to just like kind of, you know, dick around and do some admin things. I can't speak for you. And I don't want to sound like an a-hole here, but I'm just going to tell you flat out, I cannot afford 6 weeks of admin in my business. I can't. I will close my doors and I'll be bankrupt. And to boot, I will have Mrs. Uncle Paul completely like pissed at me. Like wondering, like wanting me to get a night job or something, like delivering pizzas or something. But anyway, so, you know, what we have it over the summer too. You have people mentally checking out. I want you to be honest with yourself. Do you tend to mentally check out over the summer? Now, I want to give some context to this. I am not at all suggesting that, like right now, we're coming up on July 4th weekend here in the U.S. I'm not suggesting that you're not allowed to have a 3-day weekend. I'm not even suggesting that you're not allowed to have a 4-day weekend or take that week off. What I'm suggesting is, if you started mentally checking out a few days ago, here it is like June 30th, and you started earlier in the week, like around the 27th, figuring, yeah, I'm mostly here and call me back after the 4th or call me back after Labor Day or whatever. And then you take the actual 3 or 4 day weekend. And then, you know, you come back and you're saying, well, this is a big vacation week. Next thing you know, you screw yourself out of 2 weeks or a week and a half or 10 days, whatever you want to call it. I'm telling you, that is something that you need to have an issue with. And I'm also here to tell you, all lectures aside, that you're missing an opportunity to do the opposite of what everyone's doing. See, many times we can look at our own behavior and say, you know what, this is actually quite typical because I'm doing this. I bet you my competitors are doing this too. So how can I do the opposite of what they're doing and the opposite of what I was doing to have like more incredible results? So, you know, I maintain that you can, like last summer, I took 6 camping trips and I still tripled the sales that I had the summer before, which were pretty damn good, by the way. I remember like saying this was a good summer the year before that. And last year I tripled that because what I was doing is I was stepping it up while everybody was slowing down. Now you might be thinking, how the hell did you do that and take 6 camping trips? Because I blended activities. You know, we talk about balancing things like, okay, I'm going to have some time for family and vacation, time for work. See, that's balancing. And sometimes that's not a practical thing for you. And what I did instead was blend. So how did I blend? Well, while I was camping, some of the mornings that I went camping, I did my coaching calls. And think about it. I had the best office in the world to do my coaching calls. Even my clients were like, you are particularly relaxed. You camping again, Castain? Yeah, I mean, like, did you hear that, like, raccoon in the background? Right? As I get mauled by a bear or something like that. But or a mountain lion on Long Island, New York, because I'm sure we have them. But anyway, I mean, you can blend things like that. You can enjoy your summer and make some of your calls from a nice beach chair or a park or your patio if you live in like an area that doesn't sound like, you know, like World War III is going on and construction equipment moving and, you know, like city noises and stuff or people getting mauled by a bear, as I alluded to before. So, you know, you want to think about that. Like what I did 2 summers ago, I started doing this. There's something else that you can do. Look at what the typical mentality is amongst the people that you're trying to get in front of or try to get a decision from. And also try to teach them to have the opposite mentality. So let me give you an example. Many of the people who buy sales training over the summer, I'm not talking about just you guys who go into my courses and hire me as your coach. I mean your bosses who have me come in and deliver training on-site and customize an experience for you guys and do regional sales meetings and keynotes and all that kind of stuff. The mentality is, well, over the summer, we don't want to do that. And, you know, it's a time when we're slowing down and it's hot out or whatever it is. What I've come to the party and done is try to educate them to have the opposite feeling of that. So what's the opposite of that? My fear, and I don't communicate it this way, here's the gist of the message, is why wouldn't you want to train over the summer? Think about it. Let's talk logic for a moment. If you are experiencing a time of year when it's slowing down, I mean, what makes more sense? To pull people out of the field when you're really busy in September and October and year end and the beginning of the year and all that kind of stuff? Or during a time when you've slowed down anyway? So that's something that I do. And I even created a mailer that I've been sending out for years. I get an incredible response rate. And the message is something along the lines is, you know, something along the lines of, you know, this is the perfect time to be, or it's never a bad time. I'm sorry. It's never a bad time to plan for an epic year in sales. So like, let's not wait for November for that. Let's not wait for like when everybody and their mother is doing kickoffs in January. Let's do this now. It's the waypoint of the year. Have we given up on the year already? It's the halfway point. We're just getting started. So that's what I'm here to do. Take the opposite approach of what my competitors are doing. Also, I feel that there's less noise when everybody is slacking. So you're allowed to step up your efforts without like sacrificing your life and being like the crappiest father or mom or whatever it is. You can blend. There's different times that you can work or whatever. I will tell you, yes, I'm going to be taking a little time next week during July 4th week, but very little time, like the actual day of July 4th. I will tell you right now, I'm smoking cigars in the backyard, drinking some kind of concoction with rum in it, I'm sure, because Mrs. Uncle Paul is all, the woman loves her rum, by the way. And, you know, I don't want her to drink alone. So I will be partaking in that, eating some really good barbecue. But the week after, I'm going camping. I'm not doing it when everybody else is doing it. I'm doing it the week after. So I'm doing a lot of my efforts when it's quieter. So anyway, works for me. But the other thing that I just want to leave you with is this, kind of like teaching you how to fish. I want you to look at everything that you're doing, everything from how you approach potential clients, how you kind of quote unquote court potential clients, how you get their attention and get them to return your calls, and how you stand out from your competitors, how you facilitate your meetings with them, the questions you ask, every aspect of it, even handling objections, and then simply ask your question, ask the problem solving question, which is, in what ways can I? And then fill in the blank. In what way can I do the? In what ways can I ask the complete opposite types of questions that my competitors are doing? Maybe you need to like grow some balls and ask the ballsy questions, like call out the elephant in the room because nobody ever wants to talk about that stuff. Maybe what you need to do to be the opposite of your competitors is be willing to have the difficult conversations. Maybe what you need to do is have a willingness to call out people. And again, that's not a license to be a dick, right? Maybe what you need to do is present your company in a very different way. People use these cliched phrases, use all this marketing speak. I don't know. Maybe the opposite of that is actually what I call the kitchen table test. You know, if you wouldn't say it at a kitchen table over a cup of coffee or a beer, don't you dare say it. Maybe it's just like, actually, imagine this, having a conversation with people. But I'm going to leave it up to you. I've given you lots of ideas here. I'm hoping this is one of those episodes where the wheels are turning. What I'd like to do now, I promised at the beginning of the episode that I would share with you a little bit about our upcoming program, Rockstar Academy. So if you don't mind, let's go ahead and pay the bills. The other day, I was looking at the calendar, and I did a complete double take. I mean, I was thinking to myself, could it be true? Could it be possible that we've hit the halfway point of 2016? I mean, wasn't it just the other day that we were kind of coming out of the gate with all that New Year's piss and vinegar that we're going to conquer the world and we're going to just kind of, you know, make President's Club and make it happen this year? And here we are, halfway through. So, you know I can't just let that go. You know I wouldn't be who I am if I didn't get in your face a little bit and just ask you like a really direct question. Are you having the year that you thought that you'd have? Are you selling at least at the levels that you hope for? And is there room for some improvement? And I guess the million-dollar question that I need to ask you, what are you doing about your circumstances? Are you doing anything about it? On July 21st, we're launching our new online program, and it's called Rockstar Academy. And we have one mission only, and it's to help you become the sales rock star that I believe you deserve to be. Now, I have 150 tips, tactics, and ideas that I'm going to be sharing. I have email templates, phone templates, voicemail templates, social networking templates, 5 all caps awesome ebooks, and I have an agenda that looks something like this. We're going to come right out of the gate talking about 20 ways for you to create opportunities. I'm going to show you places to look that you're missing right now, and I can guarantee you your competitors are missing them too. We're going to talk about meticulous pre-call planning, what to look for, where to look for it, and as a bonus, how to reduce the amount of time you're spending researching prospects and clients and things like that. I'm going to show you how to automate that process too. We're going to talk about how to get your emails open, read, and for the bonus point, responded to. How to dramatically warm up your cold calls, as in what to say. How to respond to objections in a way that doesn't sound like you're like pulling like rebuttals from some 1970s bad closing book or something like that. A bad telemarketing book, because that's what they called it back then. Also, how to leave voicemails that help you stand out. And again, get a response. Isn't it cool when people respond to you? And you know damn well that a lot of people don't respond to you. I mean, like how frustrating is that? How to sell more via your social network. Now, what we're going to do is, or what I'm going to do is, I'm going to show you a step-by-step communication plan where you're not going to even have to think about it. And you can use it from the moment you connect. That's where a lot of those templates are going to come in handy. And I'm going to show you what to say, when to say it, and how to keep those relationships alive so you can transition them off the computer screen. We're going to talk about how to take control of your client and your prospect meetings. We'll talk about several insurance policies that you absolutely need to take out on the front end that you're going to thank me for when these opportunities get to the point when you need to ask for the business. We're going to talk about how to ask better questions and how to take better control and how to get all of the stakeholders involved and engaged even after you leave the meeting. I mean, wouldn't you agree? That's when you're most vulnerable. It's not necessarily when you're in the meeting. It's like all that follow-up and what are people doing and things like that. We're going to talk about how to position yourself as the logical choice, how to reduce doubt and indifference, how to keep people from clinging to the status quo. How about that? That's kind of a cool thing. How to close more deals. And you ready? How to win back the ones that you lose. In fact, I just have tons of ideas that I'm going to share with you that kick in once somebody even tells you no. Right? These things are great when they work, but what if, like, you still get a no and somebody still turns you down and they're still going to go in a different direction? Well, your Uncle Paul's got you covered. Now, once the sessions conclude, I'm going to go where no sales trainer has really gone before. I mean, some people do it, not many. And we're going to kind of like a whole like encore thing that's going to kick in. I have 3 months of weekly reinforcement emails for you and a special refresher email that's going to kick in at the end of it. And the reason why I'm doing this, I'm going to be sharing so much with you, right? Between all the templates, all the tips, all the tactics, all the ideas, all the examples. I don't want you to forget any of it. So I figured with some weekly reinforcement emails and a nice refresher webinar at the end of the whole process, it might be kind of helpful. Now, here's the thing. Now, you guys should know this by now. The way that I do all of my training is that I always deliver it live and I record it. This way, you can truly go at your own pace. So if you want to turn this program into something where, you know, you're only going to check things out maybe every 2 weeks and go at that pace because maybe every week is a little bit too aggressive for you, have at it. If you want to turn this into something that instead of taking maybe 6 months to do it, you want to take a year and a half to do it, God bless, go ahead. I'm not going to say anything. If you would rather attend after hours, you know, 7 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, 6 a.m., whatever it is, you can do it because you'll have the recordings as well. So you can truly go at your own pace. Now, if you'd like to learn more, and more importantly, if you want to reserve your seat, because you know how these things work. If you're like me, you have great intentions. You might want to do something. Something sounds interesting. And then you say, yeah, I'll check it out later, or I'll sign up later. Next thing you know, the doors are closed. And we're going to be closing them very, very soon. So what I'd like you to do is visit yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar. yoursalesplaybook.com/rockstar. I hope to see you all there. I'm looking forward to learning with you, and I'm really excited about this program.